from the birthplace of radio's greatest era, live from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
Wait, who?
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
Huh? The big dog, Kevin McCullough.
Who? And Kevin McCullough.
No, who?
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
Who? Kevin McCullough?
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
What?
How Barack Obama's dismantling hope and change and CEO of Extreme Media.
Oh. So glad to have you with us. Welcome to Saturday night. It's been a big week in America. And it's been one of those weeks where we've had to focus on some really important kind of ginormous, just enormous issues. Issues that we as a country would like to believe we've dealt with and have moved on from. But in truth, issues that seem somewhat still complicated. Who would have thought that this many years after the Gettysburg Address, after the Emancipation Proclamation, after the writing of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which guarantee the equality of all men, would we still have thought that we were going to be dealing with what we have seen by way of not just the desire to see a more just society in the killing of George Floyd, but even in the basic ability of people to get along? The president kind of summed it up in his Rose Garden speech yesterday.
We have a great country. It would make a difference if we could get along.
That was one of the most true things he said, and it was considered largely by the press as just kind of a throwaway. Not a very important line. Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. New Orleans Saints quarterback, Drew Brees, who, following Hurricane Katrina, was a hero for the people of New Orleans. He rolled up his sleeves. He raised money. He went into particularly the downtrodden African-American communities that the black mayor of New Orleans had abandoned during the hurricane. You'll remember there was a law in New Orleans that if a hurricane was to be approaching and if it was a certain size, which Hurricane Katrina was one size bigger than, then the rules were the mayor is supposed to release all of the city vehicles to go and rescue as many shut-in citizens as possible prior to the hurricane making landfall. This is something that they have in their operational laws down there. And he had, at minimum, we know this, he had at minimum 2,000 school buses that were just sitting there, locked up on school properties across the New Orleans area. And the African-American, the black mayor of New Orleans, instead of following the rules, let those buses sit there. He didn't, in the 2 days leading up to it, go to the neighborhoods that were most in danger, many of whom were the living poor in New Orleans, and give people rides to higher and safer territory. And what happened as a result of that, we all saw it. News helicopters flying over people's houses with them having to be stranded up on the second and third floors, begging for help, asking for people to come and to help them. That was what the black mayor of New Orleans did. What did Drew Brees do? He rolled up his sleeves as soon as the waters began to subside. He was offered a chance to move out of the city of New Orleans, and he said, no, I'm committed to being here with the people. I'm a New Orlean. And after all of that sacrifice, and after all of that commitment, and after all of that love that he poured out on his community, what did they do this week when he said that it's inappropriate to disrespect the flag? They told him to go F himself loudly in marches just last night. That's the plight that America is facing right now, and it's complicated. I've been frustrated because I've had some family members who've gone after me, saying that all of this is also my fault. And I keep wondering if they've forgotten that I have a biracial family that has taken someone of color who would have probably been dead before now if he had been left in his home country and assimilated him to the United States. And not only that, I do what we're doing tonight every year. I labor in trying to tell the story and hope that we can liberate some African slaves on the African continent. Because on the African continent, slavery is still in existence, particularly in the area of Sudan, particularly in the tens of thousands of Sudanese slaves that were taken during the Civil War and never required by the rest of the world to be released. That's why I'm proud to stand with Christian Solidarity International. That's why last year, when you helped us on this broadcast liberate more than 200 human slaves, I just wept with joy. Because to me, friends, we won't start having a more perfect world. We won't start really loving those who are much different than us until we start to do it. And CSI has been doing it. My number is 888-342-1010. And friends, tonight, you're going to have a chance to affect transformation in the life of someone who probably looks different than you. A slave from South Sudan, currently in the custody of Islamic radicals in northern Sudan. Now, a few years ago, my very good friend, Pastor Heidi McGinnis, who's no longer with Christian Solidarity International, she's gotten more frail in her older health and so forth. But I'll never forget her telling me about the story of transformation and what happens in the lives of these slaves. Take a listen.
Transformation is absolutely amazing, because what we have to be aware of is that the first thing that happens with the persons who've been ruptured, ripped out of the fabric of their family. I mean, I've had young women say, you know, my mommy gave me cow's milk in the morning. I was loved. And the next thing, she's on this journey to hell after she's been kidnapped into the north. She's raped along the way. She comes into slavery. She has to undergo female genital mutilation, which is done with the lid of a can or a scissor or a knife. But one of the first things that happens after that violent dehumanizing process is the forceful Arabization and Islamization that takes place. And the very first thing is the people that are enslaved lose their name. They lose their identity. They're robbed of who they are.
And while our country has struggled with the knowledge of what has happened in the years past and how that impacts our future, friends, we're not at that place anymore. Naming people things other than what they were named. And so tonight, I want to do something about this. I long for injustice to be made whole. And tonight, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to be bold and say, would you please help us? Because what we want to do is we want to bring about a more perfect union with our fellow mankind. Pastor Heidi was on my show, I think that was from 3 years ago, and she was describing, and it has not changed. The treatment of the slaves from South Sudan is inhuman. They are killed simply for looking at their slave master the wrong way. They don't have the privilege of even fighting back against someone arresting them because they have no power. They've been stripped of their name. As Pastor Heidi described, they've been stripped of their sexual identity. Can you imagine your daughter being taken captive and with the edge of a rusty tin can lid having to carve out her own personhood? 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. There are 96 slaves that I've been told that we have the negotiations underway with. My Christian Solidarity International family has told me we have 96 negotiations underway. That means we need 96 bags of hope. the bags of hope and the negotiation for the release of the slave is $250. $50 of that buys the cattle vaccine that they trade the slave for, and the rest of it goes towards a bag of hope, which is a bag of sorghum grain that will last for a year, seed for the coming season that they can plant and have sorghum a year from now. It includes a she-goat so that you can start a micro-enterprise and a way of self-sufficiency, and also all the dairy and milk that that will render. It comes with a tarp to live in, a tent, gardening tools, all the rest of it. Friends, it is a complete survival kit that helps them begin their new life. And tonight we have a chance to help a number of them. 888-342-1010. I need your help. 888-342-1010. We've already, by the way, helped. I believe it's close to 30. I will check on that. But when we come back, more stories towards a more perfect world. Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Night Live. Kevin McCullough. Burdened. Burden for our country, burden for the world, burden for the conversations that need to take place. Here in the U.S., we mourned the death of George Floyd this week, which was appropriate. No man should lose his life simply because the police officer that is detaining him for what is a very questionable arrest to begin with, that supposedly George Floyd had tried to pass off a counterfeit $20 bill. And I've got sources in Minnesota that have told me within the last couple of days that the place where Floyd and the arresting officer, Chauvin, sometimes had overlapped in working as security guards. And get this, connect the dots here. So the police officer that arrested him had worked in the same nightclub establishment as Mr. Floyd. And it is now thought that that hotspot had been a place where there was a problem with counterfeit money being laundered. And I just found it really ironic and very odd that when supposedly this guy goes in to buy a Diet Coke or whatever with a $20 bill at a local bodega or wherever it was, that immediately you've got four cops up on there on counterfeit charges and saying he's violent and dangerous. And the next thing you know, the guy that co-works with him at the place where that kind of questionable activity happens has his knee on his neck. And the next thing you know, the guy's dead. I think there's a lot that needs yet to be determined about what happened there. And so I understand the peaceful protesters this week that said injustice ignored is justice denied. I stand with them. I also stand with the families of all of the African Americans that have lost their lives in the violence due to the rioters and the demonstrators. I don't hold the rioters and the looters to be the same people doing the quiet, peaceful protests. The rioters and the looters are bad agents outside. They're Antifa. They're people that may be associated with Black Lives Matter, but they don't care about the law and they just want their stuff. And Antifa has a completely different, they want to do away with law enforcement altogether, which now we're having that conversation. But for those 11 African Americans, especially the law enforcement officers who have lost their lives, my heart mourns with them as well. And then there's this issue of what to do about ongoing injustice. We were already on this broadcast, we were already working this spring to try to liberate 96 slaves. We've done it for the last several years. And I have to say congratulations to you, because this is really the first night that we're fully talking about it. And you've already just in kind of the preview and the run up to it, you've already helped liberate 35. Just from the little mentions I've made of it in past weeks, you've already helped us liberate 35 slaves. 888-342-1010. If you're confused about how it works, I'll explain it more in detail, but it's $250. Christian Solidarity International is my partner in this. They run basically an underground railroad. just not dissimilar at all to the one that happened here during the Civil War. But how does it work, and who does it help, and what are their circumstances like? I don't think anything else tells the story of CSI as good as one of the slaves who have been freed, like Adut.
My name is Adut Ajeng. When I was a young girl, the raiders from the north attacked my village and took me away. We walked for 10 days. I saw many terrible things. Some of my friends were killed because they could not keep up. I was sold to a family. I was forced to be a slave, to work for my master and his family with no pay, very little rest. When the master didn't like the food I made, he would say horrible things to me and beat me. He forced me to pray as a Muslim. At night, I prayed in secret and asked God to rescue me. After 5 years as a slave, I was losing hope. Then one day, I heard good news. There was someone who came to our area to free us, to bring us back to South Sudan. When I came back to my village, everyone was so happy. They cried when they saw me. They couldn't believe I was alive. Now I am back with my people. I am happy. I am free. I thank God for answering my prayers.
Adut also went on to tell the CSI personnel that took her story that she wanted to thank the Americans, particularly the people from the American church that had given the money to help create that possibility. Here's how it works, friends. It's $250 total to get the slave from the life of being a slave to completely self-sufficient on their own. But how it works is the Underground Railroad slave retriever is what they call them. They are actually Northern Sudanese Arabs that want to have a good relationship with the South Sudanese Christians. And so they go into the north and they find the communities of slaves and they enter into these negotiations with the slave masters. Turns out the slave masters in the north care more about their cattle than human beings, and their cattle tend to get sick in the harsh weather. So the slave retriever has an opportunity to say, hey, what if we can provide you with the Novitium vaccine that'll keep your cattle alive during the harsh season? For every vaccine that we give you, will you release one of your slaves? And the slave masters almost always say yes. Once they have them liberated, they walk with them at night back to South Sudan. That can sometimes take 7, 10, 12 days to get there. But once they're there, there is a recovery camp, a recuperation place where they receive medical treatment and some forms of counseling. They try to help identify who they are. They try to help them remember their given name, where they're from, maybe try to connect them with families or regions. And then the CSI personnel give them this thing called the Bag of Hope, which is much more than a bag. It's a huge gift. It's a she-goat. It's a tent and tarp. It's gardening tools. It is grain to feed themselves for the coming year and seed to plant for future years' worth of feeding. And when they have all of these things intact and they've been able to recuperate, then they take them back home. Friends, $250 does that for one slave. You can do it in a monthly installment if you need to. $125 a month for 2 months, or $50 a month for 5 months, or $25 a month for 10 months. But friends, will you help us? There's 96 negotiations underway. That means we need 96 bags of hope. But actually, we're down to 30 to 61 left because 35 have. So would you help us? 882-342-1010. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. You can also go online at csi-usa.org and click on my picture, Kevin McCullough. So stay with us. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Go and help. Welcome back, Radio Night Live. Glad you're with us. I don't know if you've noticed, but in some of the discussions about protesting this week, on social media, you've seen this for sure. There's been this intense reminder to say his name. In response to that, I do believe that we should say George Floyd, because he was the one that was murdered by the Minneapolis police officers. And I think that we should say the names of the other 11 victims that have died in the looting and the rioting. The 11 African-Americans, four of whom were law enforcement and many others. One guy would feed law enforcement for free at his cafe. He was shot and killed. There's been tragic violence, and I think there's power in saying the name of the people who were wronged in our own memory. That's why I think it's such an important thing to do that, to say the names of the victims. Well, it turns out that we're not the only ones that struggle with this. 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. We're talking about the liberation of enslaved people in South Sudan that have been taken captive by Northern Sudanese during the Civil War and are just beginning to be released as we negotiate their freedom. By the way, Christian Solidarity International, since 2 years before the Civil War, have been liberating slaves, and they've liberated more than 100,000 to date. It's an amazing thing. But when you talk about taking someone's name away, taking someone's identity away, there's a real price to pay for that, for the enslaved person, for the wronged person. Here's my friend, Pastor Heidi McGinnis.
Agui, aguer, aguer. It just shows us how important our name is, and that there's power in the name of Jesus when we get together to do what is right before the Lord and our siblings. He said, I never thought about running out of slavery to be free, because if you decide to escape and you're caught, then you're killed. I've seen children my age killed. And he said, the first thing that Addis Omer, who took me as a slave, was to change my name to Hassan. And he said, I had to abandon my language, abandon my faith, and take on this Muslim name. I hated being called Hassan. And it wasn't my name. It was the name of the slave master. And so then he said, at the end of the interview, he stood up and he said, I am now Agui, Aguer, Aguer again. And never again will I be called Hassan anymore, ever again.
So important and so vital for that little boy to know that his identity, who he is, would not be erased. And friends, that's what happens with enslaved individuals. Their identity is taken from them. They're who they are, who they are told they are, who they are allowed to be, is taken completely from their discretion. And it's one of those things where when we are able to work for their liberation, the slaves that come back, one of the first things that Christian Solidarity International does is help them write down their story and remember their given Christian name. And it's something that they take with them back to their new life. $250 helps that slave become free tonight. $50 of that used for the Novitium vaccine that will be traded for the slave. The slave master cares more for the health of his cattle than for the human beings. And the rest of that $250 gift creates the Bag of Hope, including a tarp, tools for gardening, sorghum grain to feed themselves with for the coming year, seed to plant the following year's crop, a year's worth of it, a she-goat that they can get dairy products from and use to breed and have other she-goats that they can sell. That's kind of a little business for the individual slave. Friends, these ladies have never seen anything like this. mostly women and children that are liberated, and they never see anything like this, and they can't believe it at first. It's a bit of a shock to the system. But friends, we need your help. We need your help. There are 96 negotiations underway for slave liberation. 35 of them have the Bag of Hope provided. You're helping us provide the remaining 61, and I don't want to leave any one of them behind. Will you help us? 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. To liberate one of God's beloved children. In a world, in an entire world where we're still trying to figure out what is justice, there should be no more slavery on planet Earth. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Please call right now. Radio Night Live, Kevin McCullough live from New York. Thank you to those of you that have called and been giving. Friends, it is a wonderful thing. And this just in, for the remainder of tonight, here's the challenge. If we can liberate together 10 more slaves through your gifts tonight, $250 one time, $25 times 10 months, or $50 times 5 months, or $125 times 2 months. But if any combination of those, or one person doing 10 slaves, $2,500. But if we can liberate another 10 slaves tonight, there is a single listener to Radio Night Live, a single fan of CSI that has made it known to me that they are going to match those 10 slaves. So we could actually help liberate 20 between now and the end of the broadcast. But we need your help. Will you call right now? 888-342-1010. I love it when listeners challenge each other like this, by the way, because you know what it does? It confirms what you're already thinking in your own heart. You are already sitting there going, you know, Kev, I've been listening to what you've been saying. I've been watching the stuff play out on the TV, and I've been frustrated because I want to do something that makes a difference in the world and actually helps to bring about a more fair and just place. And I feel like I'm a little bit not able to do that. You can tonight, friend. You can tonight, and you can say, you know what? The next time someone asks me, well, what have you done? You can literally say, I helped liberate someone who was enslaved. Christian Solidarity International. By the way, if you don't know anything about them, this is an amazing organization. Super small staff, tiny little office in California and another one in Switzerland where the executive director works, and he interfaces with governments all over the globe to work on freedom issues. But literally like three people on their entire staff. And then when they do the slave liberation projects, they work with all people on the ground, the local relief agencies and pastors and people that are there in the communities. They already know these people. One of them, I was just reminded of this. One of the slaves that came back a few years ago, he became a clergy member, started a church. Now it has like 750 people that worship there every week. And 250 of those are returned slaves that have come back. It's an amazing thing. I started working with this group. Oh, my goodness. It's got to have been 15, maybe 20 years ago. 888-342-1010. And every, just so you know that I'm not asking you to do something that we haven't done in the McCullough House, before we even started talking to you about it this year, we had already made plans to try to help liberate 4 slaves. So, and that's not to brag about us, it's just what we feel like it's important to do. We feel like we can carve out that much money to give every quarter. We can liberate another slave every quarter of the year. Anyway, here's some more information about who CSI is.
During the Sudanese Civil War, Islamic militias raided the Christian-majority villages of southern Sudan, wreaking death and destruction. Hundreds of thousands were kidnapped and taken into slavery. torn away from their families, forced to convert to Islam, and subjected to untold horrors. Today, tens of thousands are still enslaved, but there is hope. Since 1995, Christian Solidarity International has liberated over 100,000 of these who have been enslaved, bringing them home, reuniting them with their families. We need your help to bring those left home. $250 will free one person from slavery and provide them with a survival kit. Basic items like food, shelter, a goat, and fishing supplies. Please, help us bring freedom for South Sudanese Christians and other minorities by giving generously. $250 frees one person. $500 frees two people. $1,000 frees four people. We won't stop until everyone has been freed. Join us.
Friends, it's something you can do right now. It's very simple. And when you call 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010, and give your gift tonight, that goes immediately into the column of usable. So you call them tonight, you give your gift tonight, that goes into the account. They are able to then create the tarp and the goat and the tools and everything, gather them together and have that allocated for the next one of those 96. And by the way, you've already helped us liberate 35 as of tonight. If we meet this challenge that's on the table in front of us, if we can have 10 more slaves liberated this evening, and the match that goes with that, that's another 20. We would be over halfway to the goal of 96 if you helped us tonight achieve that goal. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. If you're just joining us and don't know what we're talking about, the slaves of South Sudan were largely women and children. Imagine your own sister or mom taken, made to march for miles and miles on foot. If she gave any kind of resistance, probably killed. There was one young lady that I will never forget the story of. Her name was Abuk Tong Tong. And when she was taken north, her whole family was. But she watched her brother be shot in the head. She watched her best friend be beaten to death. She saw her parents split up and taken to two different places, and she was taken to a third. And the third, where she was taken, that actually became her living hell. Raped by her master, raped by her master's son. She was forced to circumcise herself. That's what they call it. It's genital mutilation. She was given a rusty lid and said, go down to that river, cut out your womanhood. She nearly died from the infections. And a couple of years later, when the slave retriever found her and negotiated her release and came back, when she got to the CSI camp, she said, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you to those who gave. And then she said to the CSI person, please tell the Christians that there are more. And please don't stop until they're all home. Do you hear Abuk's cry tonight? Abuk Tong Tong? 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Have your gift matched right now. All right, Kevin McCullough, so glad to have you with us and thankful for our partnership with USA Masks Direct. USAMasks2020.com is where you go. USAMasks2020.com. And if you'll notice, I have this very simple mask. Now, I know that we don't need to wear the masks everywhere. I'm not one that's saying because of COVID, you should be wearing your mask. I kind of think it's funny when people are driving in their car with their masks. But having said that, the ugly paper ones that I've used for home improvement and stuff in the past, they just don't seem to work very well. So I was really thrilled when USA Masks approached me and said, hey, would you mind taking a look at our masks and see if you could endorse them? And when I tried them and I saw how luxurious the materials are, how inexpensive they are price-wise, how they're washable up to 50 times. And I love the patriotic themes. First of all, I love the New York Strong theme, the Statue of Liberty with the red, white, and blue. I love the one that has the American flag on it, the Stars and Stripes. But my favorite one is the one that says, "We the people." We the people, right there on the mask, and it has a portion of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. We the people. And it reminds me that we the people are the ones that make the world turn to go. We make the difference. So if you want to get these very attractive masks, I've now gotten mine. I'm thrilled with them. You can go online, usamasks2020.com, usamasks2020.com, and just use my promo code KMC. When you use that, they're going to give you 20% off your entire order. So if you order them for your whole family, your workspace, whatever, you know, and again, they're washable up to 50 times each. They're very durable, and they're so comfortable. You're going to get 20% off if you use my promo code KMC. Promo code KMC. Get your We the People face masks. Because, you know, we're coming into 4th of July, and there's just a lot of debate about, you know, are we a country united, et cetera. I you can say a lot by just wearing one of these masks. USAMasks2020.com. USAMasks2020.com. USAMasks2020.com, promo code KMC. Now, also, I want you to know, we've had a couple of calls. We need at least 8 more slaves to be liberated in hour number 2 tonight to have the 10 slave matching challenge met. And if we do that, then we will have liberated 20 slaves tonight. And we can't do it without your help. So I need you to go and make the call. 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. If you want to read a little more, you can check them out online, csi-usa.org, csa-usa.org, and just click on my picture, Kevin McCullough, when you go there, and you can read more about our project, what we're doing, how it works, and then you can make your gift. And if you give a $25 a month gift for 10 months, $50 a month for 5, $125 for 2, or a one-time gift of $250, you will set a person free tonight. And in this world that's crying out for justice, what better response than to liberate someone who's enslaved?
from the birthplace of radio's greatest era, live from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
Wait, who?
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
Huh? The big dog, Kevin McCullough.
Who? And Kevin McCullough.
No, who?
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
Who? Kevin McCullough?
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
What?
How Barack Obama's dismantling hope and change and CEO of Extreme Media.
Oh.
Kevin McCullough, hour number two is off and running, and we are grateful to be with you. Thank you to those of you who have been calling 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Friends, we're doing something unique tonight that's kind of fun. We're leaving a positive example behind for people that really want to see change take place in the world. We're doing something about it. Because I don't think that the America of burning cop cars and defunding police departments and all kinds of other stuff is really representative of what our nation needs. You know what we're much more akin to? That cute video of that officer kneeling down and comforting a young African-American girl in Houston yesterday because she was afraid that police were going to shoot her and her family. He just said, no, sweetie, we're here to protect you so that you can have your demonstration. You know who else is sick of the destruction? The brother of George Floyd, Terrence Floyd. He spoke at that Brooklyn Memorial Service. Take a listen.
I'm proud of the protest, but I'm not proud of the destruction. I'm going to say that again. I'm proud of the protest, but I'm not proud of the destruction.
Yeah, and who can blame him? Because here, look, bottom line is, that's what will go down in history associated with his brother's death. If more people die from the protests than died in the incident, then his brother, whose fault none of it is, his brother should have never been arrested. It was a phony charge. He certainly didn't deserve to have a knee put on his neck and suffocated to death in such a humiliating way. Those four officers, they need to go to jail. We need to get rid of bad apples. There's no doubt about that. But his brother clearly understands if the protests bring about more violence and more death than his brother's original incident, then the legacy of his brother's name will not be one that is looked favorably upon. So I don't blame Terrence Floyd for saying, no, we don't want that. We're not associated with that, nor should they be. He says they're a family of faith, and he says that they're a peaceful family. I've really been impressed with his brother, who doesn't fancy himself articulate or anything important. He just humbly has said to the public now twice, do the right thing. And I appreciate that, Terrence. If you're listening tonight, Terrence Floyd, I appreciate you and your example. But it's part of the reason why we're doing something tonight. It's part of the reason why I've said, hey, if we're going to try to correct justice in an unjust world, it's got to start with us. And several people have said to me, Kev, is there some way that we could make a demonstrable statement that means that we believe and want justice for all people? And I said, yeah, my friends at Christian Solidarity International, we are liberating slaves on the African continent right now. Here's a little backstory as to how that all got started.
During the Sudanese Civil War, Islamic militias raided the Christian majority villages of southern Sudan, wreaking death and destruction. Hundreds of thousands were kidnapped and taken into slavery, torn away from their families, forced to convert to Islam, and subjected to untold horrors. Today, tens of thousands are still enslaved, but there is hope. Since 1995, Christian Solidarity International has liberated over 100,000 of these who have been enslaved, bringing them home, reuniting them with their families. We need your help to bring those left home. $250 will free one person from slavery and provide them with a survival kit. Basic items like food, shelter, a goat, and fishing supplies. Please, help us bring freedom for South Sudanese Christians and other minorities by giving generously. $250 frees one person. $500 frees two people. $1,000 frees four people. We won't stop until everyone has been freed.
And that is the commitment that Christian Solidarity International has made for years. They are committed to eradicating human slavery. It's an unjust thing. We are still grappling with the consequences of it hundreds of years after it has been no longer legal in America. Friends, tonight, and I'm so excited because I think we're about eight slaves away, at least we were at the top of the hour. We're about eight slaves away from being able to do twice as many liberations tonight as we would have otherwise, because one particular fan of this show and strong supporter of CSI made it clear to me earlier this week. He said, Kev, this coming Saturday night, I want to do something special. And so last hour, he let me know, and we announced if we can do 10 slaves liberated this evening, he's gonna match it slave for slave. That's a generous gift. That's a $2,500 gift in total, because it's $250 to see one person set free. And if you're just joining us and you don't know what all is entailed in that, let me explain to you that the slaves came about because Sudan was at a civil war with itself. The Islamic jihadists of the north were at war with the southern Christians, and they would make raids on southern towns, and they would come in and they would take property. They would take beasts, animals, vehicles. They would just strip people of everything that they had. And then they would also take the women and children against their will and march them back to North Sudan. And they basically became, you know, literal slaves to those people. They're forced to work in the fields. They're forced to work in the homes. They're forced to do the most menial of labor. They're barely given anything to eat. They're paid nothing. The women are regularly assaulted, and they are forced to convert to Islam. They are forced to have the babies of the slave masters. They are so mistreated. It is dehumanizing. It is inhumane how they are treated. And it is a sign that we still have problems on planet Earth when it comes to treating all men and women equally. So if you've been frustrated tonight about the racial issue here in the U.S. and you're saying, I want to be demonstrably different, I want to make a difference, I want to do something that's actually going to count for something, pick up the phone and call 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. A $25 gift for 10 months, a $50 gift for 5 months, a $125 gift for 2 months, or a one-time gift of $250. Any combination of those will set a slave free tonight. 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. And you're going to be liberating people like a young woman that I will never forget hearing her story for the very first time. She was a young teenager when she was taken. Her brother was shot in the face and killed on her family's forced migration to North Sudan. Her dad was killed on the way. Her mom was sent to a separate slave household. Her best friend was assaulted and murdered on her way. So when she arrived at the place where she was going, her slave master's house, she was all alone, mistreated, repeatedly raped by not just the master, but the master's son. She was told she would have to perform female circumcision with a rusty lid of a can. She got infections from that. There were all sorts of trauma. But when she was liberated, when somebody got her liberation arranged and cared for, she came back to the Christian Solidarity International recovery camp. And as she was telling her story, she said, thank you. Thank you to God. Thank you to the Christians in the U.S. who helped us. Thank you to those who are still doing it. And then she said, but please don't stop. There are more. Go get all of our brothers and sisters. Friends, last year, those of you listening to this show, we liberated in excess of 221 slaves together. My family did four of those. Will you help us this year? We are 36 slaves liberated, with some 61 to go in our goal for this spring. And friends, you can do it. We can do it together. $500 will take care of two slaves. That's $50 a month for 10 months if you wanted to do two slaves. Or $100 a month for 5 months. But whatever you can do, would you do it now? Because this hour, every slave that we liberate will bring another liberation. One anonymous donor is going to match if we hit that 10 slave threshold. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Need your help. 888-342-1010. Thanks for being with us tonight on Radio Night Live. So glad you're with us. Kevin McCullough, thanking you for being here. Thanking you for caring. Thanking you for calling. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Want to say thank you to some people who have called. Jeffrey, listening in Quebec, Canada, said, hey, I care about the enslaved. He liberated one slave tonight, a one-time gift of $250. Thank you, Jeffrey. From Kew Garden Hills, New York, Myson said, hey, here's $100 towards that matching challenge tonight. Thank you, Myson. I appreciate your generosity. Ann said, from New Jersey, she said, all I can do is $20, but will that help? Yes, Ann, because if we have that matched, then it's going to go towards helping two slaves become free tonight. And Renee in Jeffersonville, Indiana, also giving a generous gift tonight of $150. And Gene from Louisville, Kentucky, a champion. Gene coming in with a $500 gift. That's going to help two slaves find freedom and know that they will not have to live the life of a slave any longer. And sometimes we don't really understand the real cost of it. Take a listen to this.
After 5 years as a slave, I was losing hope. Then one day, I heard good news. There was someone who came to our area to free us, to bring us back to South Sudan.
That's the slave named Adut. And Adut was in slavery for only 5 years. And I say only 5 years because many of the slaves that we have helped liberate have been there since they were children. Some of them 10, 12 years at a time. But the reason that I want you to understand the crime that's committed here is because slavery is dehumanizing. It is humiliating, and it hurts terribly those whose lives it touches. And here's my friend Heidi McGinnis describing what that humiliation is really like.
Transformation is absolutely amazing, because what we have to be aware of is that the first thing that happens with the persons who've been ruptured, ripped out of the fabric of their family. I mean, I've had young women say, you know, my mommy gave me cow's milk in the morning. I was loved. And the next thing, she's on this journey to hell after she's been kidnapped into the North. She's raped along the way. She comes into slavery. She has to undergo female genital mutilation, which is done with the lid of a can or a scissor and a or a knife. But one of the first things that happens after that violent, dehumanizing process is the forceful Arabization and Islamization that takes place. And the very first thing is the people that are enslaved lose their name. They lose their identity. They're robbed of who they are.
And friends, that's why, at least it's my opinion, that's why in recent days you've had such an emphasis on the issues we've been facing here in the U.S. about saying their names. Because when you dehumanize people, when you take away their dignity, when you take away their identity, you have fundamentally destroyed not only who they are known as to themselves, but to the world around them. And there's no better way to control and be purely evil towards someone. And I honestly think that if you are trying to do that to things that are made in God's image, that you have to take the ability to look upon something with compassion, someone with care. You have to remove their humanity from that in order to be cruel, because you can't look at them and say, well, what if that was my daughter? You can't look at them and say, well, if that was my daughter that was experiencing that, of course, I would fight rigorously against that. I would go, you know, take them apart limb by limb. Of course you would. Why? Because you believe in the humanity and the dignity and the identity of your loved one. Well, friends, it's not any different. In this situation, the crime here in the U.S. was that that officer saw no humanity in George Floyd at all. So keeping his knee on his neck until he passed out from lack of oxygen and until he finally gave up his life, that officer, if you look at that tape, there was a coldness. There was I don't care about this person as a human. And that reality is being carried out every single day in the households where these slaves are so mistreated, the way Heidi McGinnis told me on my show just a couple of years ago. That was a soundbite from a past visit. But she traveled there for 14 years and saw it over and over again. Friends, I need you to see it as well. I need you to feel it. I need you to see and to feel the threat and the danger and the pure desperation of someone who is living without any hope at all. And then think about it from the standpoint of what happens when hope comes into their life. And let me explain how that works. So the slave retriever, very similar to the Underground Railroad of the Civil War era, the slave retrievers go up into the North. They make contact with the slaves. They make contact with the slave masters. They begin to negotiate their release. And it basically goes like this. They say to the slave master, hey, your cattle are going to have a hard time this coming heat season. And we've got this vaccine called Novidium, and I can make it available. And the slave master will say, well, how much will it cost? And he says, no, I'm not taking money. I will trade you a vaccine for your cattle for Novidium for one vaccine. I will take the life of one slave. You'll give me the liberty of one slave. You'll release one slave into my care. And sometimes slave masters, depending on how many cattle they have, they'll do two or three, and they'll say yes, because they care more about the cattle than they do the humans. Then that slave retriever, as he gathers a group, they begin to walk all night, overnight, sometimes many days, 7 to 12 days, to get back to southern Sudan. And when they cross over the border into safety, they get medical care, they get restorative counseling, they get help in nutrition and food. Sometimes they've been starved for such a long time, they have to be kind of nursed along a little bit to be given their strength back. They write down their story. They remember their name. They try to help CSI identify where their family might be from or who their relatives were. And then they're given this thing called the Bag of Hope, which is just the best thing ever, because they've never gotten any gift at all. And all of a sudden, they've been given the world. They're literally given a tarp that they can turn into a living shelter, a tent for themselves. They have gardening tools to plant a crop of sorghum to feed themselves into the future. They get a year's supply of sorghum to help them survive the coming year. They get a she-goat that will give them milk and dairy products and a micro-enterprise, because they can breed the she-goat and create more she-goats and support themselves that way. And then they get all of that together and they go home. Friends, that's what we're making happen tonight when you call 888-342-1010. We're helping people who have lived a life of utter injustice, who have been so wrongfully mistreated. We're helping them go home. 888-342-1010. And everyone we get done this hour, going to be matched person for person if we can get 10. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. back to Radio Night Live. Thank you. Thank you to those who are calling. Thank you to folks like Joshua from Rahway, New Jersey. He said, you know, I can't do much, but I can do $20. Joshua, that's going to count. It's going to help a slave get free tonight. Philip from Somerville, Georgia, just outside of Augusta there, $50 a month for 5 months. He will help a slave be liberated. Philip, thank you for your generosity. We've also got Henry from Sarasota, Florida, tuning in. He's going to do the $25 a month for 10 months. Both of those guys, by the way, the 50 times 5 or 25 times 10, that will help. That will help a slave be liberated. And you're making it happen right now. There are 96 negotiations underway for slaves right now that we could bring to their families. We could bring back home to South Sudan. Your $250 gift will provide the vaccine to negotiate with. It will provide the bag of hope that will change their life, give them a new start, a fresh start. And there's just nothing else like it. Friends, I've been advocating for groups that do good for a long time. I have never been so proud to be associated with any of them the way I am to be a part of the work of CSI. This is a tiny little group. I mean, they've got, I think, 3 staff members total, and they are working night and day to negotiate with governments, to plead for more just circumstances for human trafficked slaves the world over. They're trying to help governments address injustice. And to be candid, it's a wonderful break from what we're seeing on our television screens. When we realize that we're still grappling with justice in the U.S., to know that we can actually go liberate someone who's had nothing but injustice their whole life. And that's another reason why people are saying, say their name. Say their name. Why? Take a listen.
Agui Aguer Aguer. It just shows us how important our name is, and that there's power in the name of Jesus when we get together to do what is right before the Lord and our siblings. He said, I never thought about running out of slavery to be free, because if you decide to escape and you're caught, then you're killed. I've seen children my age killed. And he said, the first thing that Addis Omer, who took me as a slave, was to change my name to Hassan. And he said, I had to abandon my language, abandon my faith, and take on this Muslim name. I hated being called Hassan. And it wasn't my name. It was the name of the slave master. And so then he said, at the end of the interview, he stood up and he said, I am now Agui Aguer Aguer again. And never again will I be called Hassan anymore, ever again.
Can you imagine? Just imagine someone taking the name that you have had your entire life and saying you can't have it anymore. It's not yours. You're not your own person. When CSI returns those slaves home and they help them remember or find sometimes for the first time what their Christian name was, it is one of the most freeing things. That was my friend, Pastor Heidi McGinnis, who used to do advocacy work for CSI. She went to the Sudan for 14 straight years and saw this with her own eyes. And her health has grown weak in recent years, and she hasn't been able to do nearly as much as she used to or even wants to. But she still writes me from time to time, and she will say, Kevin, don't forget to pray for our brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters in Sudan, never forget the plight of what they face. And friends, that's one of the motivating factors as to why I continue to be so involved with what we do at CSI. CSI is like my extended family. They think what I think, and they go and do what I would be willing to do if I had the time and the resources and the money to be able to do it. Using the network of pastors and local churches on the ground, they are able to take these former slaves and embrace them back into their community, give them a home, reestablish their dignity and their identity and their self-confidence in who they are, and help them plant their crop and get them started on their new life. Friends, that's what you're doing. You're taking someone who's literally living death, and you're turning them into someone who's living life again. And the only crime they ever committed was being born in the wrong place and worshiping the wrong God. And for that, they have paid sometimes in dozens of years of slavery conditions by jihadist masters who would rather kill them, to be honest with you, than to feed them half the time. You're changing that whole thing when you jump on board tonight. And tonight, if we have 10 slaves that are liberated in this hour, another 10 will be liberated by a single donor to CSI. 888-342-1010. It's our 10 for 10 challenge. And we've got limited time left, but I need you to call. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Or online at csi-usa.org. And click on Kevin McCullough's picture. I'll tell you more right there on the homepage. 888-342-1010. Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us Saturday night, Radio Night Live, and joint production once again this week as lockdown radio continues. My TV and radio crew not able to join me because of the circumstances where we live, and my daytime crew not able to join me either. But between the three sets of everyone, we're able to get this show to you every week, and we have not missed a week. We've not taken a single week off. So I hope that you've been benefited by the really, truly stellar guests we've had and the conversations we've had. And tonight, friends, we're still at a crossroads. Our country is still grossly wrestling with things that I think a lot of us would have just been comfortable saying we dealt with a long time ago. But almost every person I know has had a revelation of some sort in the last few days as our nation is still trying to struggle with justice. And justice is a global problem. It's not just the U.S. That's why what is going on in the Sudan is so jarring. It's one of the reasons why my friends at Christian Solidarity International decided to get involved.
During the Sudanese civil war, hundreds of thousands were kidnapped and taken into slavery, torn away from their families, forced to convert to Islam, and subjected to untold horrors.
Now, I want you to think about that for a second. You take people, and it's bad enough that you're going to... if you're listening, you know that I'm if you listen regularly, you know I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of the Bible. And Scripture says very clearly that you do not do anything. If a man works a day's worth of work, you give him a day's worth of wages. That's the eternal, divine, universal principle that is spiritual law. And you don't have to be a Christian or a God believer or anything else to know that that's right. A man is worthy of his hire. And so if he does good work, he should be paid for that work. The fair price. So just consider this. These Islamic radicals that take these Christian women and children and they transport them north and they beat them and they whip them and they make them work for days. They humiliate them. Some of the young kids that they've taken, when the child looks at the slave master wrong, they'll string them up by a tree and they'll make them stare into the sun for hours, sometimes blinding the young person. It's just inhumane. It is cruel. It is total evil. And that's why what we do with Christian Solidarity International is so important, because when we set these people free, we begin to give them back their life and dignity. Here's my friend Pastor Heidi McGinnis with a couple more examples of a couple of times that happened.
We were in the marketplace of Warawar, which is very close to South Darfur, and I had been in Warawar during the war in 2004 when the marketplace had been burned down, but now it was thriving. And then this young man came running up, and he said to us, "Don't you remember me? You were there when I was freed. My name is Dominic. I'm in the sixth grade." You know, that so great. And then Michael, who was a father and a husband who'd been enslaved when he was free, he became a catechist and formed a church of 750 members. I mean, you talk about resurrection experiences, and 250 of the members are former slaves.
Can you imagine? imagine that? I mean, just let that sink in for a second. Just ponder the importance of that. He's a slave. He's beaten. He is abused. There are all kinds of things that happen to him. And what does he decide to do with his life as a Christian, as a free Christian, as a former slave? He goes into ministry. And he goes into dealing with those that have been wrongfully treated. And now he pastors a church of 750. And in South Sudan, that's a mega church. And roughly a third of them, a full third of them, are former slaves that have come back. And that he's helping work through the forgiving of their slave masters. Not letting bitterness ruin your heart. Helping you become the person that God truly created you to be, which is nothing like what you were treated as a slave. Friends, this hour, and with just a few minutes left in the hour, we have had a challenge be given to us. And I want you to think about the power of this, because we might just be one liberated slave away from meeting that goal. We had a challenge. If 10 slaves could be freed in this hour, then a single donor to CSI was going to come alongside and say, I will liberate 10 more. And if you're on the edge and you've been hearing the stories and you've been hearing the bigger dialogue that's going on in our country, what does justice look like? How do we make justice happen? One of the ways we create justice in the future is that we outdo the injustice of the past. And so when a police officer takes the life of George Floyd in Minneapolis, and the entire country literally is on fire because of it, we need many, many, many more people to go out and do demonstrably good things for people that are in the ways of injustice. And I don't know of a more unjust way of life than being considered the property of another human being, than being considered lower than the cattle that they raise. That a medical vaccine for someone's cattle is worth more to a slave master than the human being that is there. It defies credulity in my own way of thinking, but I don't care. As long as that slave master takes that vaccine and gives us that human back, and we can take them and we can help them come back to life again. So many of them have lost hope. So many of them feel like they are trapped and they'll never be free again. And friends, there are still tens of thousands. 100,000 have been freed, but there are still tens of thousands that need our help. And tonight we're asking you to just help us close the gap on the 61 that are still not yet free that we knew about when we started the show. 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. And if you decide $25 a month for 10 months, or $50 a month for 5 months, or $125 for 2 months, or $250 one-time gift, if you decide that tonight and you help us get across the 10 slave threshold, if we liberate 10 lives, there'll be 10 more liberated simply because you took the action now before it's too late. 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. Please go to the phone or online at csi-usa.org. Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. You know, twice in the last week, when the brother of George Floyd, Terrence Floyd, took the microphone, once he was at the site of his brother's death in Minneapolis, he was standing there on the street, the curb, right where that officer took that man's life. And then later he was at the Brooklyn, New York-based memorial service for his brother. And in both places, it was really rather remarkable, because he picked up the megaphone in Minneapolis and he picked up the microphone in Brooklyn. And he said to everyone listening, he said, there's things that my brother would have wanted. He said he would have wanted, for instance, for us to demonstrate in peace. My brother was a peace loving man. And he said, peace on the left, justice on the right. And it was kind of interesting because then they held up the signs, the peace sign and the sign for justice. And the crowd chanted back to him, peace on the left, justice on the right. He said, my brother would not have wanted us to destroy our neighborhoods, our businesses, our own people. And he began to weep in the Minneapolis appearance. He began to weep when he said it because he knew it was true. That when Antifa and these other groups came into the picture, they weren't concerned about African Americans, and they weren't concerned about Black Lives Matter, and they weren't concerned about the welfare of our country. When Antifa got in, mixed into these protests, their goal was very clear: create so much chaos that the police could be blamed for it, that the nation could be brought down by it, and that absolute anarchy would reign. And they made a pretty good impression along those lines. They got quite a way down the road before they were discovered. But the other thing that Terrence Floyd said at the memorial in Brooklyn was that he said his brother would want to have nothing to do with the destruction. He would be proud of the protests, but he would not tolerate the destruction. Proud of the protest, but despise the destruction. And the reason was because he was a man of faith and believed that that counted for something. Friends, I'm a man of faith. And I believe if we want to see justice come, we have to be active in pursuing it. And while we can't go get George Floyd's life back from that murderous gang of officers that dishonored their shield and their service, we can liberate someone who is living in slavery tonight. If you've missed any of this show, go back and get the podcast and listen to the stories. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. It's my prayer that we met that 10-person challenge, because that means that then we will have liberated 20-plus people tonight. But we need your help. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. You can also give online at csi-usa.org. csi-usa.org. Click on the picture of Kevin McCullough. Click right through. Give your best gift. If you do it before the top of the hour, it will count. And hopefully, we'll have liberated a lot of lives tonight and taken a step towards justice, toward a more perfect union. That's my prayer anyway. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time.